Well, if you've been with us, you know we're in John. We've been studying the book of John for almost 2 years now. It's hard to believe, but we are coming to the close of the book. We're going to actually finish it, Lord willing, in July. And we're in a section right now, which is often called the Upper Room Discourse, John chapters 13 through 17. And we are in chapter 15. So we started chapter 15 last week, and today we want to continue that study. We're going to be talking about advice, and I want you to think about advice just for a minute. I want you to think about the best advice that you have ever received. What was it, and who gave it to you? So turn to the person next to you or in front of you or behind you and share that with them. What was the advice that you received, the best advice you received? Who said it? What was it? Go ahead and just tell them. You can go share with her. All right, did you learn something new about that other person sitting next to you? Hopefully. The best advice you've ever received. I mean, we could probably talk about this for hours. I've received all kinds of advice. Some of it came my way when I didn't want it, but you can think about advice that comes in a variety of categories. Go back to the day that my doctor said to me, you need to start exercising every day. And that came on top of a test result. I had a triglyceride report that was over 900. If you know anything about triglycerides, that's like way out of the range, you know. And he said, you're going to have to change the way that you live. And probably the last 15, 20 years, I try to exercise a little bit every day. And it really came as a result of that test result. I haven't had that problem since, thank God. I mean, if I'm thinking about in the immediate, I had another doctor say to me this year, you need to change your diet. And it wasn't just the exercise thing. That was, some years ago. You need to change your diet. And so I've tried to change my diet a lot this year. It's hard for a meat and potatoes person to do. But I've really gotten into vegetables. Can you believe that? I'm eating vegetables like I never have before. That just seems wrong for me, and maybe it would be for you, I don't know. So that's been something that's happened here this past year. I think about the advice that I received regarding preaching in this past year and the need to change how I was preaching, and I've taken that advice to heart, been working with that now for almost a year in my preaching, and I could sit down with you and explain to you what all of that means, but it's often advice that we get that results in significant change in our lives and hopefully for the better, right? Well, we're going to look at some advice this morning in John chapter 15. If you have your Bible, I encourage you to turn there. John chapter 15 verses 9 and following, where we have some advice that Jesus gives and some of these final lessons that he has with his disciples. And I call this the best advice ever, and I'll show you this morning why I believe this is the best advice ever. Hopefully it's advice that we will take to heart. Well, here's the advice. Let me read the entire section for you. John 15, verses 9 and following. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and to bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other. And you say, well, how in the world is this the best advice ever? Well, first of all, it comes from a friend, and I want you just to notice that context that it comes in verses 14 and 15. Jesus says that he views his relationship, and he's speaking here with the disciples, as friends. He doesn't view this friendship as a master-servant relationship. And of course, there's a big difference here. Slaves didn't usually have an intimate friendship with one of their earthly masters, if they had more than one earthly master. Slaves normally didn't know what their masters were doing, nor did they know oftentimes what their master's plans were. They were told to do something and they didn't get a why answer for it. If they wanted to know why, it was really not something that a master would reveal to the slave, because that was intimate knowledge that the slave didn't need to have. Which means, as some of you are thinking right now about the relationship that you have with certain people, you might say, I kind of fall into the slave category more than the friend category. Because a friend has a different relationship to a person. In this case, Jesus doesn't see these individuals no longer as slaves, and he is their master, but he sees them as a friend. A friend is somebody that you share your life with. A friend is somebody that you share your thoughts and your dreams and your plans and your innermost feelings. You share your soul with them. Aristotle said it this way, a true friend is one soul and two bodies. And Jesus is saying here that he was a friend to these individuals. And so as a friend, he gives them some advice. So again, if you can think back on some of the best advice you've ever received, I have a friend, Jim Liljegren, who many years ago said to me, David, you need to marry Bernice. The best advice he ever gave me, David, you need to marry Bernice. It had come after the question of, do you think I should marry Bernice? I asked him that question. The other part of the answer was, you would be an idiot if you didn't marry Bernice. Ultimate advice. But what Jesus says here can be ultimate advice. And I want you to notice the three benefits of taking his advice and applying it. First of all, greater joy. Verse 11 says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be made complete, or may be complete. And some of your translations say perfect. You want to have perfect joy, or more joy than you have like right now? I mean, that sounds great, doesn't it? Jesus says, I want you to have full joy, full and complete. I want you to be filled up with joy. It's interesting, studies show that the more joy that we have, the better life is. Would you agree with that? The more joy that we have, better life is. We just have a fundamental need for joy, and that's why even some companies now have joy consultants. Does your company have a joy consultant? The joy consultants come in, their reason for being there is to build the company up so that there's greater joy in the company, because they have found that if the employees have greater joy, then there will be greater productivity. And of course, it's all about the bottom line anyway. So let's get the joy levels up. Well, Jesus says here, if you'll take my advice, you'll have complete joy, you'll be full of joy. Secondly, he says, verse 16, if you'll take my advice, you'll have lasting impact. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and to bear fruit, fruit that will last. I like that. Fruit that lasts, fruit that leaves a legacy, that does something through our life that's going to be significant, that will make a difference now, but will make a difference even days from now. And Jesus says, and by the way, this is one of those passages that speaks about election. It speaks about God's choosing. You'll see it right there where he says, you didn't choose me, I chose you and I appointed you to go and bear fruit. Jesus says, I chose you. In fact, now, that just was part of my plan. You didn't choose me, I chose you. Here, speaking about God's part in the relationship that we have with him, he chooses. We are given choice also, but the focus here is on his choice of us. I have a book in my library called Election, Love Before Time, and how it's an expression of God's love to us to choose us, and in this case, to not just choose, but to choose us to go and do something significant for him and leave lasting fruit that impacts people now and forever. So this advice that Jesus gives is advice that will result in greater joy and greater impact or lasting impact. And then you take the last part of verse 16 where he says, and also it's going to result in answered prayer. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Do you like the sound of that? The Father giving us whatever it is that we ask in his name. Do you ever go to your parents and say, you know, I have a question, but before I ask the question, I want to make sure that you're going to give me what it is that I want you to give me. Could you just say yes? So whatever I'm asking, you ever done this? Seems foolish, doesn't it? But, you know, probably we've all fallen into this trap at some point. And it almost kind of sounds like that, but what Jesus is saying here, it's conditioned upon asking in his name. And those that ask in his name according to his will are going to receive whatever it is that they ask. So let me ask you a question. If you had a friend come along and offer advice that would give you greater joy and greater impact and greater answers to prayer, would you be interested? I mean, I would. If somebody stood up here right now and said, listen, I have some advice that would give you greater joy, greater impact, and greater answers to prayer, I would be all ears. Tell me, what is it? What are you suggesting I need to do? Well, Jesus tells them what it was they needed to do. Look back at verse 9. He says, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. Now, if you were with us last week, we talked about this word remain, which is also in some translations, the English Standard Version, the New American Standard Version, is translated as abide. And last week we talked about abiding in the vine, as we abide in the vine and the Christ abides in us. We talked about that whole picture of how we are to dwell in, or to live in, or to stay in. And so it's a picture of staying or dwelling or living. So we gave the picture last week of moving in with Jesus. So you're there to reside with him, not to pick up and leave from time to time, but you are committed to this relationship. And in the same way, Jesus is saying, now you need to remain in my love. And of course, the question then is asked, well, how do I remain in his love? He tells us, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. And again, I want you to notice three times. I mean, in two verses here, three times Jesus says, remain in my love. Remain in my love. And then he says that he remained in his Father's love. So the idea is we are to remain. And of course, the question is, how do I remain? And the answer is what? By obeying Christ's commands. And of course, then you say, well, there are a lot of them. What exactly does that mean? And Jesus goes on to say in verse 12, my command is this. And this is fascinating because now he's taking all of the commands that he has given and he's summarizing them into one command. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. This is my command, love each other. So how do you remain in his love? How do you obey his commands? By obeying one command, which is the command to love each other. Love like Jesus loved. That's the bottom line of what he's trying to say to us this morning. Love like Jesus loved. Be willing to lay down your life for others. Like I'm laying down my life for you, you lay down your life for others. Now, from what I can tell in the New Testament, that is the single most important advice that we could ever take. Because our love for each other expresses whether or not we love God. You might write down Galatians chapter 5, verse 14, where Paul says the entire law, the entire prophets, they're all summarized in the royal law of love, which is love one another. It's to love your neighbor as yourself, that whole concept. And you remember in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 40, that Jesus got at the very same thing when he said all of the law and prophets really come down to this, loving God, that's the vertical, that's the first four commandments in the ten. And then it comes down to loving each other, and that's commandments 5 through 10 in the Ten Commandments. He said, it's all about loving God and loving each other, but then the New Testament goes on to say, and Jesus is saying it right here, that the expression that you love God is loving others. So if you love others, you are demonstrating your love for God. You can say that you love God, but if you don't love others, you don't love God. So Jesus summarizes the whole thing by saying, if you take my advice, you'll live life like I lived, you'll love like I loved. And of course, the question then is, so how did Jesus love them? Well, you could just go through and make a list. This is the list that I made quickly. He befriended them. He took the initiative to have a relationship with the disciples. He befriended them. He committed himself to them. He said, you follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And he carried out that commitment. He didn't just make a commitment and forget it, but he carried that commitment out. He taught them time and time again. He served them. He sacrificed for them. He led them. He challenged them. He even called them to greatness, to deny themselves and take up their cross and to follow him. He endured their shortcomings. He was patient with them. He forgave them. He healed them. He restored them. He fed them. He rebuked them. He prayed for them. He saved them. And ultimately, he died on the cross for them and then was raised from the tomb. And so you look at those commands and you say, man, Jesus intentionally did life with them. I mean, that's another way to summarize it. Remain in my love by loving like I have loved you. So personally speaking, if you go back and you look at the New Testament, we think about, well, are we loving each other that way? You can begin to think about how Jesus went to parties they had, and he celebrated with them, weddings and other occasions. He ate with them, he worshiped and witnessed with them and prayed and traveled and vacationed and sometimes surprised them. He talked to them, listen, he talked to them face to face, not just by text messaging. He talked to them face to face and he laughed with them and he wept with them and fished with them and solved problems with them and endured criticism with them. He just loved them. And here, it's fascinating, he doesn't explain to them how he loved them because they had already seen it. If you go back to John chapter 13, verse 1, it says that he loved them to the end. And then he goes on in these chapters, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, and he demonstrates his love to them. And one of the demonstrations you remember was him actually taking the role of a servant and washing their feet. And of course, once you get past chapter 17, we already looked into this around Easter, he then gave his life for them. He died on the cross for them. He didn't have to explain to them what love meant because they had been seeing it for the past 3.5 years. And Jesus is saying here, if you want to experience greater joy and you want to leave lasting impact and you want to see answers to prayer, then start loving people like I've loved you. Which means it's not going to be easy. It will require sacrifice. It will require time. It will require effort. It's going to require a change of our life. This past year, we've seen some tremendous things happen in the lives of people here in the church. And one of the groups that we've seen God working in wonderful ways has been the YoPro group. Next week, we're actually going to receive into membership 11 different YoPros from the YoPro group. Now, YoPros, for some of you, this is the first time you've heard YoPros. Is that like a cult or something? What is that, you know? Well, it just stands for young professionals, okay? So it's short for young professionals. And God's been doing a great work in this group. And I asked one of the couples this morning just to share a few moments with us in this service, Andrew and Lynn Burks, and they're right here. So why don't you guys come on up? And I've just asked them if, actually, I don't know if we're supposed to use this one. I'm probably supposed to use this one right here for purposes of something that I don't know. This says vocal two. Is this one okay? It's okay? Okay, great. I got the okay on that one. So you can touch that one, but not this one, okay? I'll put this one over here. All right. So anyway, these guys are committed to what it is that we're talking about this morning, to doing life together, to loving like Jesus loved. Because when you think about how he loved, he didn't do it from a distance. He did it close up, very personal. He was very much a part of these people's lives. And one of the things that I just am enjoying watching, every now and then I even check you guys out on Facebook because they have a Facebook page. But one of the things I'm really enjoying watching is how God is building community, how they're building community, how they're doing life together. And part of this membership thing is actually an expression of that. Talk about how important, Andrew, community is to you, to both of you, to you and Lynn.
Yeah, sure. So community is very valuable to us. You know, it's the people that you spend the most time with. They have a dramatic influence on your life, every facet of it, from your faith to your job to what you care about. You know, community is really valuable.
Yeah, and I would say even more for us, community is important because we think of our community as our family because we're both from pretty far away. And so our families are across the country. So YoPros has really kind of become our family.
Mm-hmm. So you came into the church just, how long ago was it now?
I guess almost 3 years ago, November 2010.
Almost 3 years ago. And then this group got started. You guys got right in as soon as you possibly could into the group. And from what I can see, you really truly are trying to live life together, which means what?
We came to the church in November 2010 when we moved out here from Atlanta, Georgia, and you know, I started playing drums here, and that sort of kept us here, and messages and stuff like that.
I'm so glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ben.
Happy to do so. So we were, you know, we were coming to church, but we didn't really, it really wasn't a huge part of our life. You know, we would basically come whenever I was drumming, and that was sort of it. And then the YoPros got started, and we really became engrossed with the church. And we've made some really great friends. And so when you talk about spending time together, we have, you know, on Wednesdays we meet at the Collisters and we study the Bible and pray for each other, which is really great. But we also meet all the time outside of that. So we have lunches on Sunday after church, and we also do this thing called Sunday Fun Day where we go sort of ride bikes and, you know, barbecue and just kind of hang out, watch TV, all that sort of stuff. So it's really been a great community because this is the first time in our life that our closest friends now are believers. So that's just had a huge impact on our life and all that.
Yeah. And just to go back to the membership thing. So as I said, next week we're going to mug the YoPros that are coming into membership, and it'll be a fun thing. But they've done this in community, and I thought that was fascinating because it's the first time in all my years of ministry that I've actually seen a large group of people say, you know what, we want to do this together, we want to come in together, we want to do it as a community. And it hasn't been easy because you've been having to work your calendars to make this happen.
Yeah.
Even down to the baptism that we've had, a couple of baptisms here, but you know, why did you guys want to do that this way?
Yeah, so 11 of us are going to get mugged next Sunday, and basically, I know that sounds worse than it is. It's for all of us that are becoming members, Bridges has been an invaluable part of our lives, especially in this area. A lot of the people that are getting mugged are transplants and sort of, you know, didn't really have a community before YoPros. And so it just really adds a lot of value to our lives. And Bridges has definitely, I think, changed all of our lives in such a great way. Mm-hmm. And so we wanted to sort of make a commitment back to Bridges because it's done so much for us. We want to do as much or even more for the church.
Yeah.
And so that's why we wanted to become members. And why we're doing it together is because, you know, we've taken this journey together, right? We've been on this walk as a group together, and we think it would be a great show of faith and good for all of us because we can keep each other accountable and all of that stuff to become members together.
Yeah. And I thought this was funny because, Lynn, you were a part of this too. When we had the intro class, we had a special class, and it was over here in one of the buildings, and we had to pull some tables up to, you know, we were having lunch, and we were going to try to also look at some slides, and we had to see a certain direction, so we had to kind of group around, and I remember that you just pulled a couple tables over, and you said, this will be fine, And I'm looking at it like, no, I think we need 3 or 4 tables because then we can be distant from each other around the table, you know, elbow room and all of that kind of stuff. And you guys just, oh, no, 2's fine. And so we were all crammed together around these 2 tables. And I thought, this is just a picture of it right here. You know, it's just doing life together, being close and really involved with each other's lives. I don't remember you eating each other's food at that point, but I mean, it was just a part of the deal. Let me just ask you one more question. Andrew, you work at Apple, and you guys are on the cutting edge with innovation and other things, and your company is too, okay? So I don't want to get into trouble here. But in terms of importance with what you're doing in your career and importance in this community thing and the cause of Christ, how do they compare?
So as Dave mentioned, I'm a software engineer at Apple. I work on the iPhone, the iPad, Macs, all that fun stuff. We work really, really hard. We're all extremely passionate about what we work on, and, you know, we definitely feel like we have the best products, right, which all of you should have. So, work is a huge, especially being in the Silicon Valley and at a company like Apple, work is almost life, right, and for most, it is life. But I was actually talking to David Collister on Apple's campus, and we were sort of talking about Apple products and all that stuff, but really at the end of the day, the church has the best product there is, which is grace through Jesus Christ. And the value of that is not temporary like an iPhone or an iPad or a Mac or whatever. That value is eternal. And so for us, I think YoPros has really shown us and really readjusted our priorities, because we came out here, you know, very aggressively set on work. You know, I came out here for Apple. She came out here to go to Stanford. So it's just, you know, that was our goal when we came here. Yeah. And YoPros has completely, basically turned our priorities on its head, really, in a way that we've never experienced before. And so we're really thankful for that.
Hmm. Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate you. Thank you. Thanks for sharing. Let's just think about the application of what you just heard there. Here's a couple of people that, you know, are doing Sunday fun days and other things like that, but they're hanging out together, they're building community, and they're loving each other in the process. And the possibilities of that are that people could come to know Christ through their lives as they live in loving community. David here a couple months ago took us into John chapter 13, the new commandment that I give you, that you love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. And of course, that's descriptive of community and how through loving community, people on the outside of the family of God come to see Christ, and hopefully they come into the body of Christ. So this community thing is huge, and obviously Jesus here is focused on that and doing life together and learning to love like Jesus loved. So what's the application of that today? I mean, how's God speaking to you about that today? Well, it's possible. This is very much a possibility in the Silicon Valley for us to basically be distant from each other, to not be connected to each other, because we're just busy. We're just really, really busy, aren't we? And when I hear this and I look at what God's doing in the YoPros, I think back to a group that we were a part of several years ago, where we were a part of a loving community, and we were very young at the time, and so we were hanging out together and we were doing life together, and then we started having children. We were raising our children together. And we were recently, a number of us together at a wedding where one of the girls now who's grown up got married, and we were all invited, and so it was like, you know, a reunion of the community like the YoPros that we were a part of many years ago. And so we picked up basically where we left off, and we had dinner together, and we just had the greatest time. And it reminded us of all the times that we had together of eating together and witnessing together and, you know, just sharing our lives with each other, praying for each other, helping each other, serving each other, all of those things. And it was so important in our lives. And of course, what happens is that life happens, right? You go on, you move like we moved, and so we got away from them. And you continue to go on, and what can happen then is that you could pretty much just disconnect from others and do life without loving others like Jesus loved, by doing life together. And so part of the application for me in this is not just to know that we're to love like Jesus loved. You've heard this before, right? You've probably heard this a billion times. But it's to actually is to actually do it, to actually love like Jesus loved. Some years ago, I read about a professor of psychology who had a neighbor who had a young boy, and he would oftentimes, this neighbor would often get after his young boy, and this psychology professor felt that he needed to help this father know how to better raise his son. So he said to him, you need to quit punishing him and you need to love him. You just need to love him and not punish him, which is interesting. I'm not sure that I buy that you can't also discipline. I don't know that I'd use the word punish. But I think parents are to discipline. But he said to him, you don't want to punish him, you want to love him. Well, there was a day that this professor was working on his cement driveway, and he had to repour a section of it because it was messed up. And so he's working on it, and he's pouring this cement. It was an exhausting day, and near the end of the day, he had pretty much finished his work, done the trowel work on the cement, on the new pour and all of that, put the trowel down and got up and headed on to go inside to just take a refreshment break, just a break there. Well, when he did that, that little young boy from next door walked over. And now you know where this is going, right? Because all of us as young kids, we were always looking for the cement, the wet cement, right? So he came over and he stuck his foot in it. And at that point, this professor saw that and came back out. And he was going to give it to this kid. But the father saw him and he said to this professor, the father said to this professor, remember, prof, love him, love him. Well, at that, the prof looked over at him and he said, listen, I love him in the abstract, but not in the concrete. And I thought, well, that's pretty much it, isn't it? I mean, that's the tough part, is to actually love somebody in the concrete. When life gets tough, when life is real and we're busy and, you know, things aren't going well, and to actually love them then. It's a brand new book out that I'm hoping to read this summer called Love Does by Bob Goff. I don't know if you've seen the book, but I'm looking forward to reading it because he talks about that concept, which I think Jesus is getting across here, love like Jesus loved. To love like Jesus loved is to do what it was that Jesus did. And so Bob talks about actions. And in the beginning of the book, he talks about his favorite place at Disneyland. He says, my favorite place at Disneyland is Tom Sawyer's Island. You ever been to Tom Sawyer's Island? Anybody here? Anybody? Anybody? A few of you have. I'll bet you there are more people here who've been to Disneyland that haven't been to Tom Sawyer's Island, because it's not like on the beaten path, you know, to go to Tom Sawyer's Island. You got to be pretty intentional and you got to plan out your day, because it's going to take a little bit of effort to get over there to Tom Sawyer's Island. You just got to get on one of the boats or whatever it is to get over there. And Bob says, that's my favorite place. And when I go over to Tom Sawyer's Island, I sit at this little table that's right there near the landing, and it's my office. He calls it his office. He says nobody sits there, but he sits there and he reflects. And oftentimes what he'll reflect on is his relationship with God and how he's doing in this whole area of loving, because loving is all about action, and this island's all about action. It's all about doing. But he said, many people that come to Disneyland never get to this island. They have good intentions. They even sometimes say, oh, before we finish the day, let's make sure we visit Tom Sawyer's Island. But they never get there. And Bob says, that is a lot of what our lives are like when it comes to loving in action. We have good intentions to do it, but oftentimes it doesn't really happen. And what Jesus is saying here, the best advice ever, if you want to experience increased joy, if you want to experience increased impact, and you want to experience greater answers to prayer, then love like I do. Best advice ever. Love like I love you. So what does that mean in your life today? You know what it means in my life? Bernice and I were talking about this. It means we really got to elevate community in our life. And we talked about some different ways that we're going to begin to do that, better ways than we have in the past 3 years. It means we need to make some changes. It's not just something of the distant past, but it's something that we need to live with now as we love like Jesus lived or loved by doing life with others and loving them in sacrificial ways. Let's pray together. Father, help us collectively and individually hear your voice, even now, so that we know how to appropriately respond to what it is that you want of our lives. The idea of a fun day with a group of people for some of us is just that. It's just an idea. But what if we were to take the initiative? Things could change in exciting ways. So Lord, show us what you want us to do. We pray for anybody who's here that has not yet begun this relationship with you and your love has not been shed abroad in their heart. We thank you that when somebody comes into relationship with you, your love is shed abroad in their heart and it begins to change them from the inside out. It draws them to become loving people. We want that. We desire to experience that in its fullness. And so we pray for anybody who's here today that has not yet experienced Jesus because they've not invited him to change their life. They've not received him as Lord and Savior, as Master and Forgiver. We pray that even today would be that day. Or Lord, they would at least say, I'm going to find out more about this. And God, those of us who have made the commitment, may it result in loving relationships, in changed relationships. Help us love like you loved. Show us what that means today, this week, years to come. And may the result be that we see greater joy, greater impact, and greater answers to prayer. For we pray this in your name. Everybody said, Amen.